We're in a process of doing some midnight Bible stories. However, you might not know that by what we're saying today. But the one story we're going to get to, not today, but that we're introducing, is Peter's escape from prison at midnight there in Acts 12. But we've been talking about Peter, who he is. We've introduced him a little bit. And, you know, one day, if the Lord tarries, we'll talk about Paul escaping from a prison at midnight, too. I think we know about Paul. We've studied him a lot. Peter, we haven't so much. Okay. Carolyn has, so if you have any questions, you can ask her. Okay. But we're going to go to some thoughts that we have come to. In John, the 21st chapter, and we read in, let me just get there, I'm one chapter ahead of myself. Peter had convinced, after Jesus' resurrection, he had convinced seven, including himself, of the disciples of Jesus to go on a midnight fishing adventure. We've pointed out how Peter never really ever caught anything in Scripture that we know of, unless Jesus was there. He was a professional fisherman, and he couldn't catch fish. But with the help of Jesus, he did exceedingly abundantly above all that he thought he could. And, we read in John 21 about this fishing trip. And this was after Jesus' resurrection. And it says in John 21:14, now this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Now, we mentioned last time, towards the end of our lesson, that there were three distinct times that Jesus told his disciples in his ministry here on earth that he would be killed and raised again the third day. I'll give you these three different portions of Scripture. They also are recorded in other places, but just jot these down. One is found in Matthew 16:21. The next one is found in Matthew 17:22 and 23. And the next one is found in Matthew 20:17 through 19. Now, those were three different occasions where Jesus told his disciples that he would be killed and raised again the third day. But as we pointed out last time, go back into the 20th chapter of John. These words of Jesus didn't properly register with his disciples, namely Peter and John. And John told on himself here in John, the 20th chapter. And if you miss any of these studies, I'll throw this out. They're on the website, usually the day, late in the day or the day after. You can get to them in the, under the Sunday school portion. So you can listen to these again. John 20, verse 1. This is the Apostle John writing. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, who is John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, probably because he was a little younger, went in better shape, maybe just faster, you know. And he came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and he seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, again who's John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, how slow of a learner were these guys? Well, how slow of a learner is the guy that looks back at you in the mirror? So let's not, you know, be pointing too many fingers here. Let's think about this. But how was it that Peter and John knew not the scripture, or knew not the fact that Jesus told them Jesus would be killed and rise again the third day? Were they sleeping when Jesus was telling these things? He said that? You know, somebody asked you about a sermon, he said that? Where were you? Well, I was sitting back there where I always sit. Where were you, though? You weren't there. You didn't hear it. You know, they didn't hear this, that Jesus would be killed and rise again the third day. I want you to go to Luke 18. And I just referenced three separate instances in Matthew where at three distinctly different times, Jesus told his disciples that he would be killed and raised again the third day. Now, if you're in Luke 18, we'll read verses 31 through 34, and it gives us the best answer to our question of how was it that Peter and John didn't know Jesus would be killed and raised again the third day. Luke 18, 31, then he took unto him the 12, this is Jesus, and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Note verse 34. It answers our question. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. At the time these words were spoken by Jesus, that he would be put to death and rise again 3 days later, his disciples couldn't as of yet understand these things. It didn't register in their mind. These words were obscure to them. One translation of this says, the words were a mystery to them, and they did not even begin to grasp what he meant. It's like talking to a 2-year-old about something in physics. You know, they ain't going to get it. Okay? They didn't get it. The mysteries of the Word of God, who is Jesus? They are revealed to us by divine revelation, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in other words. Now, so even though Jesus' disciples, his apostles, had spent 3+ years following Jesus, and they had learned much from him, they were told on the night of the Last Supper the following information found in John 16. Turn to John 16. Just think of how many things Jesus could have told his apostles, his disciples, in 3 years. A lot. He says in John 16:12, Jesus talking to his disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, you need the Holy Ghost to see these things. So we see here the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost, because he, the Holy Ghost, is the agency of the Trinity that reveals unto us all truth and shows us things to come and opens to us the mysteries of the Word of God. Thank God for the truth that has been revealed unto you. And thank the Lord, and I thank the Lord myself for the truth that has been revealed to me and shown me. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are experts in the Word of God? Raise your hand. Why not? Could you be? Well, I bet we all know more than we think we do. But we have one who can teach us, the Holy Ghost. And we have been privileged at this assembly to have expounded unto us truths that the majority of Christians haven't been taught or know nothing about. And the reason being, the teachers, their pastors and whatever, don't know these things either. Well, the Apostle John told on himself there in John 20, verse 9, for as yet they knew not the Scripture. It wasn't really opened up to him yet. Now, the whole of John 20, verse 9 again says this concerning Peter and John, for as yet they knew not the Scripture that he, Jesus, must arise again from the dead. One of the Old Testament scriptures referenced here is Psalms 16:10. Psalm 16:10 says this, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost after he received the Holy Ghost. And it was a Holy Ghost-inspired sermon. And Peter quotes Psalm 16:10. You can read this in Acts 2:27. And Peter says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The Apostle Paul, he also quoted from Psalm 16:10 in a sermon to those in Antioch and Poseidon in Acts 13, verses 34 and 35. And Paul says to those in Antioch and Poseidon, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David, Acts 13:35. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Again, that was Psalm 16:10, which he was quoting from. So we note that the subject of the resurrection from the dead was taught in the Old Testament, and Peter emphasized this point in his sermons, and that Jesus was raised from the dead. He also gave testimony to this fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. I think it was highlighted in his mind really seriously hard that time in John 20, verse 9, that they hadn't paid close enough attention to what Jesus had said. Go to Acts 2. And this is the first sermon that is recorded of Peter's. It's in Acts 2:14 through 39. We're not going to read all of that, but I'll give you some excerpts starting in verse 22. And this is Peter, of all people, the same guy who denied Jesus three times. There's a lot of threes associated with Peter. We're going to look at three of his sermons here today, parts of them, not the whole thing. But let's look at what he has to say. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 29, let's drop down there. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, did you know David was a prophet? Now he's a prophet. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. I'll give you a sidetrack here real quick. I'll get back to verse 31. Matthew pictures Jesus as what? King. Look at his genealogies. How far back does it go? Anybody know? To David. Because David was a king. Luke pictures Jesus as what? A man. How far back does his genealogy go there? Or back to Adam. First man, Adam. Okay, that was free, no charge. That was not in my notes, but it will be on when you hear it. Okay, Acts 2:31. Peter's still preaching here. He, speaking of Jesus, speaking of David, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. He was raised up from the dead. It wasn't a mystery to Peter anymore. It wasn't something that they kind of were puzzled about. Okay, Peter's second sermon is found in the next chapter in Acts 3, verses 12 through 26. And we're not going to read the whole thing again, but I want you to look at what it says starting in Acts 3:13 as Peter's preaching. And by the way, about 5,000 people got saved after the second sermon. About 3,000 got saved after the first sermon. And I'll throw this in ahead of time. Didn't Jesus tell Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men? And didn't Peter catch a lot of fish when he followed Jesus' instructions? Multitudes? Wouldn't you say 8,000 men plus is a pretty good multitude? He made him a good fisherman of men, didn't he? Okay, Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye, he's speaking to the Jews here, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined, Pilate was, to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You see a theme here that Peter preached in his sermons? Whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Drop down to verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up Jesus his son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We find next in the fourth chapter of Acts that Peter and John were arrested by the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem because, as Acts 4:2 puts it, they, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Remember the guys that made up the Sanhedrin Council? They were some Pharisees, some Sadducees, and some priests. Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. So, of course, that would upset them to hear about it, right? Okay, the very next day in Acts 4, Peter and John were brought before the whole Sanhedrin council. And starting in Acts 4:8, we read this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, that means like a net crammed full. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Later, after being released by the Sanhedrin, like we're going to say released and threatened by the Sanhedrin, we read that Peter and the other apostles continued preaching and testifying in Jerusalem. If you look at Acts 4:33, it says this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Where did they get this power? The Holy Ghost. They were full of the Holy Ghost. The apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The second time Peter's arrested is in Acts 5, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin again a second time. This is the very same Sanhedrin council that had Jesus crucified, okay? And I'm going to read a couple verses starting in Acts 5:27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they of the Sanhedrin council heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Okay, now we're going to go to Acts 10. Here we find the third major sermon Peter preached in Scripture. Remember, there's a lot of threes associated with Peter. We're proven Peter did get some things here. He did learn some stuff. And in Acts 10, Peter was called to that now famous house of Cornelius, a Gentile, a centurion of the Italian band, a Roman soldier, according to Acts 10:1. And the whole of Acts 10 is an interesting chapter, so I'd encourage you to please study it further on your own. The short version, cliff notes if you will, is that Peter came to the house of Cornelius at the request of Cornelius himself to hear all things that were commanded of Peter by God, this according to Acts 10:33. Now, we're going to go briefly to Acts 11 because Peter had to give an account of him, why he went there in the first place, and he does so in Acts 11. But before Peter came to the house of Cornelius, Peter had a vision. And Peter, in Acts 11, verses 5 through 11, recalls this event of going to the house of Cornelius, and he says in Acts 11, 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, because Peter had to have things repeated to him at least three times before he finally got it. That's what we're learning here about Peter, right? And all were drawn up again into heaven, and behold, immediately there were three men already to come to the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. Now, go back to Acts 10. We'll go to verse 34. Peter went with these three men unto the house of Cornelius. And this now, starting in verse 34, is Peter's third sermon that we have a record of in Scripture, which was given in the house of Cornelius. And before we read this, let me ask a question. Did Peter know everything? Was Peter teachable? Are you? You don't know everything, so you're still teachable? You know, that's one of the great things about getting older. And there's a lot of us here that are getting older. We're not getting any younger. We might have been able to used to do a lot of things that we can't no more do. But one thing we can do is learn if we're teachable. I think we better be teachable. We're going to find here that Peter was teachable. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, he's preaching now in a Gentile house of Cornelius, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word, I say, ye know. In other words, they weren't ignorant of Jesus. They knew about him. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. That's John the Baptist. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. This is his third sermon. Notice what he says here in verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even us, common, ordinary people, fishermen, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. Well, we'll read some more about that in John 21 in a little bit. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, you know, the power of the Holy Ghost was upon Peter as he preached here in the house of Cornelius. And what happened next was extraordinarily remarkable. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, including Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter was teachable. He learned some things here. For they, how do they know they got the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So obviously, Peter's sermons, once he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he didn't have any sermons before then, his sermons were power-packed. They were Holy Ghost-inspired sermons. And we're still studying about them 2,000 years later. They're still power-packed sermons. That's not bad for an old fisherman, is it? And on top of that, back in Acts 14, the Sanhedrin Council had noted that Peter and John to be unlearned in the teaching of the Jewish scholars and untrained in teaching. And they noted that Peter was obviously a man that didn't have the benefit of an education. That's what is meant by what is said in Acts 4:13. Now when they, the Sanhedrin Council, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, the Sanhedrin Council was baffled and confounded how the likes of Peter and John, who lacked education, could speak with so much fluency and pertinence, magnifying the teachings of Jesus. Only the Holy Ghost had the power to induce such a reaction. The real unlearned and ignorant men here were those of the Sanhedrin Council, who themselves had Jesus crucified, not recognizing him to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, their Messiah. They were foolish. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. If we get time, we'll look at this. The Apostle Paul understood the line of thinking of those in the Sanhedrin Council, having himself once been closely associated with them. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, starting there, 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God by the world, by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Recall what we just read there in Acts 10:38 in Peter's sermon at Cornelius' house, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The same Holy Ghost had now empowered Peter and the other apostles to do the very same thing. We ran out of time again. Lord willing, we'll pick up from there next time. Eventually, we'll get to that midnight story in Acts 12, Lord willing.